Guys, oh man, this is so fun, so sweet, so sad. Frankly, I feel like I survived the roast pretty well, considering some of the things I've done with some of you and some of the things I've said. Many of you were actually quite gracious. I was a little nervous. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. Gail, especially. Aaron, thanks for choosing that song. That's one of my favorites. I know you know that, so appreciate that. I love that song. Here we are, guys. We're at just a little stopping point along the way. It's the last Cross Life for me, not the last Cross Life for all of you, hopefully. Ushers, go ahead and come on down while I'm just kind of introing here. Our plan for tonight is I'm going to just talk a little bit about some of the things that I'm thankful for, some of the reminiscent points. I'm going to do that by the numbers and by a few pictures. I've got a little montage put together. And I'm not going to necessarily preach a sermon so much as just share some thoughts, some reminders, maybe some things that we should put on in our inner selves. But really, it's going to just be a night of celebration of what God's done and what he's going to continue to do. Also, while I have you as a captive audience, I want to encourage you, right, in light of coronavirus that is going around, it would be tempting, as Tana said, to go home and just stay back home and not come back. And yet, I want to encourage you to think about your spiritual lives. Think about in the past. And I know Christmas break, I know the month of May can be really hard spiritually. I'm not saying we're the only place that's going to be good for you, but I would consider, if I may, staying here just for the sake of Cross Life, just for the sake of being invested in, just for the sake of growing spiritually. And if you have the blessing of staying home, then great. Maybe you can even press more into your own spiritual growth. But I think it would be harmful for your own spiritual life to just jettison and never come back. So there's my little plug. I won't even be here, but John and Danny, I know, will and would love to shepherd you and teach you as well as your community group leaders. Awesome, we good to go? All right, guys, so I wanted to just review a couple things here because I know you're going to ask. I wanted to just show you what our timing of transition will be. Here's tonight, last Cross Life for me. On Sunday, we have a reception. Sunday at 3 p.m., we're going to be packing to move, and then going to do dinner with the parents. Got to do that, right? They're saying goodbye for a while. And then Monday morning, we're rolling out. So I'll probably say goodbye to a lot of you tonight. But like I said, this is just goodbye for now. We'll see you again sometime. Next, I want to show you where we're going. Central Valley, California, or as I'm calling it lately, Coronafornia. We are not going to L.A. We are not going to San Francisco. We're going to a nice, quaint little Swedish village, as one man said, in the middle of the Central Valley. It's filled with farmers. This is a very normal scene. The fruit trees are in full bloom right now, and these are everywhere. And so really think Manhattan, Montana, plopped in the middle of California, and that's where we're headed to. The town's only 10,000 people. So just wanted to kind of tell you that so that if you come up and ask me questions, we can talk about other stuff later. Wanted to reflect a little bit just to begin by the numbers. Some of the things as I was looking back on the last 7 years, almost 7 years now that I've been on staff here, I just calculated a few stats that I thought might be fun to share. This tonight is my 293rd Cross Life meeting. Okay, if you add up Thursday nights in the fall and spring and then Wednesday nights in the summer, 293rd. 63 times I have heard Timothy shout, "Yeah, Pastor Matt!" Woo! Pastor Matt! And actually 64 because it was tonight as well, so woo! I didn't account for that one. I'm going to love that, Timothy, for a long time. 175 John MacArthur study Bibles, just on average what I could approximate, that we've either sold or given away. But latest surveys show that only 5 have been opened so far. So not great return on, no, just kidding. Hopefully more are actually being read than that. 475 times I've heard Pastor Brian say, "What I have to say is not that important, but what God's word says is eternally important." Come on, guys. Every Sunday, right? I love the routine. Actually, I do. Nathan Moon, where's Nathan? Is he here? Yeah, Nathan and I have talked about just the professionalism of those announcements. I love that. And Derek, you'd say that had a role in your salvation, right? Oh, yeah, your parents. All right, your parents' salvation. Same thing, whatever. Okay, if you're a type A, if you really like clean, you know, nice square boxes, this is going to bug you as much as it bugged me. tonight, if I count tonight as a message that I preach, is my 99th Cross Life sermon. I was like talking to John, I'm like, oh, can I do a two-part message tonight? Like we'll do a break and then I'll just hit 100. 99th sermon at Cross Life that I've preached tonight. I don't know how to estimate this. I just tried to do my best. 2,388 one-on-one meetings in the last 6.5 years, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. But on average, this is more sure. I think I've probably had 338 white chocolate mochas. Right? And you know, oh, this is even worse. $1,690 just on white chocolate mochas. Lord, use that for your kingdom purposes, we pray. Man, guys, after reflecting on this, there's a sadness, but really my response is, what a relief that I am done with this job. I mean, wow, you guys are exhausting. I'm joking, by the way. Come on. But seriously, I mean, when you're in this role, I haven't slept in 7 years. You know the before and after posters of the presidents? I think mine would outdo them all. Trina, my wife is here. How many gray hairs did I have when we got married? A handful. I have gray hairs everywhere now, and that's thanks to you guys. So I'm relieved. John, be thankful that you're not going to have to face that problem. You're coming in ahead of the game. It's going to be good. I haven't slept in 7 years. I got no money. Got friends that are 18 to 24-year-olds. I'm like, what is my life amounting to? No, just kidding. No, it's been good, guys. It's been really good. It's been a joy. I'm just really blessed. I think I'm blessed more than you guys probably have been. And so I just wanted to share some of those. I want to share a few pictures just to show you guys some of the things we've done here, some of the goofiness. I want to start with this picture, though. Can anyone identify any person in this picture here? Probably not. Because Danny, could you stand up for a moment? Just get a good look. You thought you were going to roast me tonight, but here we go. There's Danny. Right there. That's him. If you can't recognize him, that's him.
The glory days.
On a more serious note, this was a fun memory. John, we did this 2 or 3 times, I think. We went up to this Big Sky Chapel, and John preached, and I led music with Trina. We went hiking. But I just remember, John, you remember there's the windows right behind, and Lone Peak is right behind there. And you've got people that are just kind of itinerant people, not real committed to church. And John was pretty sure they were all just staring at the mountain, thinking about the hike after church. But John was preaching the lights out. John, that was a fun memory. Here's me and who? Oh, yeah, Jay Nelly, back in the day. I don't know how old we were. Josh hasn't changed a whole lot, but we used to have a different Cross Life stage here, and I think Deontay's like, so what's this supposed to be again? Looking at this contraption, Mark and Sean Young. Michelle, are you here? Yeah, there you are. You remember these? What we did was stained glass windows because we were doing a series on the church, and then we like lit them up from behind, but I think Deontay's like, oh, cool. Cross Life booth, Quentin and Josh, we've been doing that for a long time. Check out Drew Fowler there, if anyone knows Drew. This was Cross Life at Cold Smoke. I think Lane Norberg must have been playing, and we gathered, and I think we ended up playing games and not listening to one song. And Lane was kind of a little bit hurt, and so we apologized. But hey, was anyone at Veritas Forum, that first one? Yeah, 1,600 people. We brought in the Englishman, John Lennox, and that was kind of a fun event. I think that was a win for us.
He's Irish.
Oh, he's Irish. Okay, thanks. Anyone remember this? Anyone? Anyone that was in high school? Tana? Daniel Gray, maybe? This was John Rorick at the Gannons. Beautiful overlook with the high school and college students. Al, where you at? Oh, yeah, getting some groceries with Callie Alberta and Erin Schreibeis, Joe's little sister, right there. This was, I think, was the first kickoff barbecue at Cross Life. We had it in a pasture with poop around us, and it rained the entire time. And so we had to cover the speakers. People have umbrellas. We're just standing there getting wet, listening to someone talk. It was a great time, but it kicked off what we now call the kickoff barbecue. It was pretty awesome. We've done a few of these. What's this event? Yeah, Thanksgiving. So that was kind of fun to think about as an outreach. And Tanner used to say, we're gonna feed them, not fatten them. And so make sure you limit portions. And now I think we just fatten them. That's been a really successful outreach for us. There's a picture with it filled up. Pretty exciting night in November. So Tanner and I had this great idea. We wanted to come up with a trip to do for college students to go do evangelism. So Tanner and his wife and me and my wife and Andrew and his wife all went to a place called Latvia. And we went to this town called, and the only way that we could remember it was to say, Dog Off Pills. Dog Off Pills. And that's how you pronounce it. It's Dog Off Pills. And there's the sign to prove it. And so we went to Latvia to scout a potential for you all and came back and all six said, that's probably not the best spot to go. Let's keep looking. And so we're still looking, and Danny and John are working on that. Okay, Michelle, remember this? Yep, so Michelle went through, was it chemo, correct? Yeah, went through chemo, so we all shaved our heads. I'm right here. Deontay, James? Oh, yeah. Andrew, Alberta's over there. That was pretty fun. That was awesome. Okay, sorry to pick on Josh again, but that's just classic, right? It's too classic not to show. We used to, well, actually, we still kind of do, I guess, the runway, but there was a lot more enthusiasm then. Josh was getting after it. And is Matt Tex here? Oh, no, Matt Tex. This is Matt Tex doing the splits. Unbelievable. There he is again with Anna Santa, or Santa Anna. Yep, there we are. Excited about our firstborn. There's the Sombrero crew, Trina, Callie, Jen Skinner, Michelle Tilstra, and little Addie. And then there's the boys. This was up at a staff retreat, getting ready for that. Another picture, this was probably 2016 or so, 2015 maybe. No, probably 2015. Dodgeball, fun times there. This was a junior high retreat. I just had to take a... This dude is like all-American right here. I loved hanging out with him. And then, of course, I got to combine the two, ministry and dodgeball, with sponges at that same retreat. Never going to forget that, throwing sponges from the tower. James, Luke, Mater's not here. Orientation day, we had a whole day of orientation at Grace, had a lunch, then we went out to ice cream. I remember that day well. That was a real joy for me as well. So this was our first Seder dinner experience, and we were all trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to lay? We knew that they were on one side, and so I think Anna probably has the best pose right here. She thought that's how the disciples were doing it. But what's interesting is how this evolved over time. We figured it out, and these guys nailed it. These guys had it down. Honestly, a little bit too realistic and uncomfortable. I mean, the fact that they're looking into each other's eyes, but then... I mean, I'm like, what is Eli doing here too? And then you got Nick's face, right? I mean, there's just a lot of funny stuff going on in this picture. So John, that's why John's nickname, by the way, John, what is it? John the Apostle. And we're not going to nickname Randy, who he would have been portraying. This was Trina's mom, Mary, giving a devotional to some women in our old house. It was my old house. Gail just lived in it for a little while. But just kidding. Andrew and I somehow got the privilege of doing a wedding and officiating that. I can't believe the state gives us that right, but we had way too much fun doing that. Danny mentioned our trip to Ethiopia with Missachar. And as soon as we got there, what did we order? Macchiatos. Hey, two macchiatos, please. Every morning, actually, it'd be three macchiatos. And we had the whole staff convinced that Missachar was, in fact, a doctor by the end of it. Great, great memories. Very godly man here in Derege. This was trip number one to Israel. The thing that bugs me about this picture, what bugs you guys? Anything? I'm like, why did you not sit right here? But anyways, that's okay. It's a good picture, and we had a great trip. And then the next year, who raise your hand if you were on this trip. Okay, so a few. So that was pretty fun at the Dead Sea, and then going back to the year before that, had to take that picture, Zach and I and Trina and Shaylee. Okay. Next, flag football. How many times did we play flag football, Gail? Remember, you tweaked your hammy one time. We carried you off. I mean, Eli busted his knee this last summer. We have some casualties. It's for real. You got to be tough to get out there. Speaking of tough, this was our tough guy pose with some guys at a bachelor party. Yep. Next, basketball team, Levi, Dave Kim, Eli's older brother, Anthony, Weston Joe, Deontay. Hey, raise your hand if you were part of the Cross Life Carnival. You guys remember that? Yeah, some people felt like it was childish. It was, but it was fun. It was meant for 12-year-olds, and we all loved it. Hikes, oh yeah, We've done lots of hikes at Cross Life through the years, lots and lots of hikes. We went to an escape room. By the end of it, none of us really liked each other, but it was a good experience. And we got out. We got out in time. So we solved the murder mystery. Hey, raise your hand if you're in this class. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, a couple. Hermeneutics class at NBC. Sydney. Oh, you were raising your hand. I just didn't see it. Sorry. I actually didn't see it, though. Sydney was in there, too, and we won't talk about things that got drawn on the board. And then, of course, we have the Halloween situation going on there, too. So, oh, and then just at last week or the week before, they put together a little going-away deal. I feel like this has been way too long. I'm like, okay, you guys are like, get out, Matt. You've been saying goodbye for 3 months, but it's been really humbling, guys, to just be well-supported and cared for. So I just wanted to express that back to you. It's been my joy as well. I want to transition just for a few minutes here in closing, guys. If you want to jot down a couple notes, there is a hidden puzzle in tonight's message, so I would recommend that you jot down these key words. Like I said, it is a time of transition. It's a time of change and maybe even a time of fear. Yes, coronavirus is running rampant, but also I think just with the uncertainty of even this ministry, right? Of course, it's in good hands with John and Danny, but you guys know me and you know Deontay. And not only is one of us leaving, but both have left now. And so I just wanted to share some things as I experience change and transition, as you all experience change, not to mention things going on in your own lives. I just want to give 8 or 9 reminders, things of the inner self that we need to put on, things that we need to have and possess. And I think the first one that I would say here is to have a community focus. Right, to have a community focus. Guys, this is one of the things I love so much about Cross Life. This is a strong community. And I just want to tell you, I don't think this is happening everywhere. I don't think you have small groups and relationships, friendships and accountability happening at every church. I'm going to miss this dearly. I'm going to miss this community of brothers and sisters. And I want to encourage you as an application of this to be a community builder, to be a community person. In fact, turn over to Acts 2, if you would. Grab your Bibles. As you're turning to Acts 2, you know the verse in Hebrews 10, do not forsake meeting together, as is the habit of some, but all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, in the same way, in Acts 2, this was maybe the earliest glimpse of a church that we have. And it says in Acts 2:42 that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And I just wanted to cue in on that word fellowship, right? Fellowship, the communal aspect of the body of Christ coming together as one. And so I want to encourage you as a young collegian to invest in this community, right? To have a community focus and to take that with you beyond your Cross Life years. Second, to have a universal paradigm. I want you to repeat this phrase after me. Scott Artavanus is not a thief. Everyone say it. Scott Artavanus is not a thief. Why do I say that? No, I'm kind of joking. But guys, there is a very universal and very sweet thing happening here. Let me tell you a little bit about Scott, though, just in a little background. He was the college pastor at Grace Community Church in 1991, the very year I was born. And in that year, he met a group of cowboys from the state of Montana that he affectionately called the Montana Posse. Blake Shaw was in the group, as well as maybe Daniel Gray's dad, Tim, maybe Kendall's dad, who knows? There were some of those guys rolling with him. And that began a friendship between him and Blake Shaw and eventually Brian Hughes, such that when this building was dedicated in the year 1999, they brought up Pastor Scott to do the inaugural sermon here. So, long-term relationships here. Now, I say that to just fast forward. We launched this advanced conference, right? Philippians 3:14, advanced 3:14 for college students and high school students. And who else would we bring up than Rick Holland and Scott Artavanus? And so that's where I began to meet Scott. And I tell you that because when it came time for Scott and I to talk about the potential of me going there, the first thing you want to do is talk to Brian Hughes. And do you want to know what Brian Hughes' perspective was, what Pastor Brian said to Scott? He said, Scott, I'm kingdom-minded. If this will help the kingdom, then I'm all for it. Pastor Brian has a universal perspective of the church that he wants to see the church flourish all over the world. And there's a sense in which this is just a small piece of that, but I appreciate that. And I want to encourage us to think in the same way, to have an awareness and a care for the kingdom of God beyond these walls. Guys, we're not the only thing going. There are other Christians out there. There are other churches, and there are other gospel needs. In fact, you're in Acts. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. In verse 6, it says, when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs or when the Father is fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And here we go. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. From the very beginning, the Lord Jesus' plan was for the church to spread and people to be sent out. Now, I'm not claiming that California is the remotest part of the earth, probably far from it, but certainly there is a gospel need there. And so I'm going with somewhat of a missions mindset to a place where there is a need. And there are two wonderful men who are stepping in here to continue God's work here. Matthew 16, Jesus says, I will build my church. He's doing it here. He's doing it in California. He's doing it all over the planet. And so I'd ask you to pray. Pray, be universal church-minded. Have a universal paradigm when it comes to what God is doing around the world and as you think through all of this transition. And I want to let you know, if you'll pray for me, I'll make you a deal. I'll pray for you, okay? And even if you don't pray for me, I want to pray for you. I have changed my Instagram name. It's no longer Pastor Matt at CLG. It's Pastor Matt at GCV. Sad face. But I'm still going to have a piece of cross life in my heart for a very long time. So I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Deal? All right, deal. Number three, I think that we need to have this internal initiative complex. What is the initiative complex? Well, for me, it began when I was 12 years old. Maybe it was already there, playing baseball. And I used to hit cleanup, 200-foot fences, right? I'm just swinging with everything I got, giving it all I got. I think I hit 12 or 13 home runs, but I think I struck out 16 or 17 times that year. And that kind of launched just a mindset for me. I'm going to go in full bore, whether I strike out or sometimes hit it out of the park. Guys, I want to just say this. Do you take initiative? And are you willing to take a risk? It's risky to be the initiator, isn't it? It's kind of scary to step out there and suggest something new. But I want to encourage you moving forward to be an initiator. And how about this? Be an initiator in the kingdom of God. Be an initiator for gospel purposes. I want to tell you that you guys have probably more brilliant ideas and you have probably more effective ways of reaching that campus than me or John or Danny or James. You, right here. You know your friends, you know your classmates, and yet often our gospel influence is minimized because we lack initiative. So whether here or when you go beyond here to a new church, many churches could really be blessed by someone who will initiate a movement, who will initiate something for God. In fact, it was William Carey, the father of modern missions, founder of China Inland Mission, who said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Seldom does God greatly bless and use those who hide in the comfort of their own living rooms. Think about that. Seldom does God use someone who hides in the comfort of their own living rooms. Guys, you got to be initiators. And you have to really have an initiating complex, right? This sort of thing where, okay, you set a goal and you achieve it, but you keep going. And you want to do this not for your performance, not to earn God's favor, but because you know God loves you and because you belong to him. We only get one life, one life to live. That's all. And so I want us all, myself, you, the new church that we're moving to be going hard for the gospel. Yeah? You want to go hard for the gospel? Man, I sure do. I want to go hard, and I hope that you will join me in doing that. This is the initiative complex. You taking notes? There's an acronym waiting for you at the end. Number four. I think that we have to have a nonsense engagement. Yeah, that's right. Nonsense engagement. A little nonsense now and then is actually a good thing. And in case you are wondering about this, I just want to tell you, your senior pastor, if you go to Grace here, he is a very silly man. Danny, can you attest to this? Gail? John Mon, wherever he went? Pastor Brian is a hilarious person. In fact, I think we could probably go around the room and just talk about hilarious text messages that I've received that just make me bust out laughing when I should not be laughing. Or what really cracks me up is at least three times he's gotten on my phone and texted my wife something that was like totally outlandish. In fact, I remember Tanner was leaving. Tanner had already left. I think I was in the interim and I was planning, I think that it was kind of moving towards me being the college pastor. This was probably 2015. And Brian gets on my phone and he says, "Hey honey, I'm thinking about putting in my resignation too. What do you think?" I'm like, man, that is cold but hilarious at the same time. Guys, what's so exciting to me is we have people here. Gail is so good at this. Danny and John, who like to have fun, who enjoy life. And I think this is a really good thing. Christians should not be the most dull people that someone else encounters on a given day. Christians should not look like they just walked out of the DMV after 3 hours and they didn't even get their license, right? Christians should be joy-filled. There should be a happiness about you. There should be a winsomeness about you. There should be a laughter about you. People should look at you and say, "Who's your king? Because I want to know him." It's kind of challenging, isn't it? To think what other people think when they look at how you live. Do they think of your master as a hard master? One who has a slave who is in the dumps and down? Or do they look at you and think, wow, you really have got it figured out. You've got the life. I want to know what makes you tick. I think there should be a nonsense bent or nonsense engagement. And just to maybe review a little history here, when I think about nonsense, this was maybe the most, I don't know, John, humbling at the same time courageous. I'm like, what am I doing here? I got this mustache on and then it goes out in the Sunday morning. You wouldn't believe how many older saints came. "Matt, that was so hilarious. We love that you're doing this." And then of course, Eli and Dylan and I taking the picture. But here's where I was a proud dad. Just last night, Don and Tammy's house, my son James was putting these cones on his head all night and saying, "Silly," and throwing them off his head for like 30 minutes. And Don, Dylan, you should have seen your dad. He was busting up laughing the whole night. I was like, this is a proud dad moment right now. I don't want as a parent for my kids to think of Christianity as a set of rules. I don't want my kids to think that Christianity is this oppression from fun, oppression from what's really joy-filled in the world. I want my kids to see a picture of Christ and of walking with him that is just attractive. You know what I mean? And I think the same paradigm is true for your discipleships. There should be a joy that comes out of you. And I called it nonsense because it had to fit the acronym. But there should be a laughter and a funness that is surrounding Christians. Okay. Next. A gratitude disposition, right? I think in the midst of change, in the midst of transition, in the midst of things kind of being shaken up and a little bit of fear factor, guys, what if we just stopped and said, "Lord, thank you." Thank you. And in fact, I wanted to just again express my gratitude to you. Guys, I'm certain that I have benefited more from being your pastor here than probably you have from me. I've grown more. I've been challenged more. And so the privilege has really been mine. I want to thank you that you have fulfilled the heart of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 verse 17. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account." And here we go. "Let them do this," speaking of the leaders, "let them lead with joy and not with grief." And I just want to say thanks, CrossLife. You have made it a true joy to be the pastor of college ministries here, being able to do this with joy and not with grief. And that's really a testament to you all and your teachability, your joy. It's a real privilege. I think, though, for all of us, embracing a gratitude disposition is key when it comes to a time of change. For me, here's the little mental routine I like to run through. I start with, okay, I'm a sinner, and because I'm a sinner, what do I deserve, right? What do I deserve, everyone? Hell. What else? Wrath, punishment, right? And so I think, okay, if God was going to give me what I deserve, I would not be saved. I would not have a Bible. I would not have the Holy Spirit. I would not have Christian friends. I would not have teachers. I would not have a wife. I would not have kids. I wouldn't have a home. I wouldn't have a car. I wouldn't have an education. I wouldn't have clothes or health, probably hair. I'd be covered in some sort of disease and boils. I'd be sleeping under the bridge, except for I can't sleep. I would have no help, no hope, no one to befriend me. And that would still be a little bit of mercy because I'd still be alive. So if, honestly, I do this routine often in my mind. Okay, there I am. Yep, under the bridge. Got it, nothing. And then I just start from that point and I start adding on, but what do I have in my life? Grace upon 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 grace. And really, I'm going to be anxious about this little thing right here. I have this much grace and I want that much grace. Really? If you start at the base level of what you deserve, we have no right to ask for more grace. Amen? Yeah, come on, guys. We have no right to expect something more from God. And for me personally, when I struggle with anxiety, here's what it is. It's I want more. I'm worried about what I don't have. I have all this grace, but oh, Lord, I want this much. Come on now. Come on, Matt. Slap yourself straight. Come on. So, a gratitude disposition, especially in the midst of a change. Next, I think we need to have a long-term outlook. I'm just reading the book titled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and one of these habits is to begin with the end in mind. To begin with the end in mind, and I want to just ask the question, what is your end in mind? What is the goal that you're driving toward that informs what you do every day? And if you're being honest, you probably don't have one. In fact, it was just 2 weeks ago, I sat down with one of you, and we formulated for the first time a purpose statement, right? Do you have a purpose statement for your life? Something that keeps you focused on the long-term goal, that's specific enough to inform decisions, but broad enough to fit no matter what job you're working or what state you live in? I would encourage you to do that if you don't have one. Smartphones can be so distracting, can't they? I think about some of these games that I've downloaded and got addicted to, and next thing I know, 2 weeks have gone by, and I haven't hardly looked away from my phone. And when you get into these games, you think you're achieving something, and then you realize, like for me, like 10 days in, I'm like, wow, this is utterly pointless. Anyone been there? You waste time on Netflix or on video games, something that you just realize the vanity of it. When I'm doing something like this and distracted, it's because I don't have a long-term outlook. There is no end in mind. And yet I think the scripture itself would point us to having that sort of long-term focus. Philippians 3, you guys know it, verses 12 to 14, Paul says, I forget the things which are behind, whether good or bad, but instead I fix my eyes on what is ahead, right? I press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He had a long-term focus. Even 30 years in, he was still driving for this goal. In the same way, guys, when turmoil comes, when change happens, right? Maybe your mom and dad get a divorce. Maybe coronavirus breaks out and it comes to Bozeman and everyone gets it, right? Maybe you experience something subtle, like a shift in your pastor or a shift in your major or a shift in whatever it may be. It's that long-term focus that keeps you steady in the midst of the storm. So I want to encourage you to develop a long-term focus. Just a few more here. Number 7 is to have an opportunity radar, right? To have a radar up that's looking for opportunities. Romans 8:28, someone say it for me, maybe all together. For we know that God... Excellent. We know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, or for those who love God. God is both sovereign and good, okay? Sovereign, say sovereign, and good. And because of that, you can trust him. It's without one of those, you can't trust him, right? If he's just sovereign but not good, he's a tyrant. If he's just good but not sovereign, he's a good Samaritan, but doesn't really have that much power. He's both. And because of that, we can kind of have a sort of invincibility in life. Now, I'm not saying be reckless, but listen, you can trust God that no matter what happens in your life, he's using it for good, yeah? He's using it for good in your life. He's working all things together for good, which is ultimately verse 29 of Romans 8, what? Your conformity to the image of Christ. So you break your leg, Well, maybe it's time to get after that reading list you've been wanting to do. You get laid off at work. Maybe it's time to start that new career path that you've had in the back of your mind. You get humiliated in front of your friends. Maybe it's time to embrace humility and share in the sufferings of Christ. There is no lose for the Christian, right? There's no losing situation because of the sovereign goodness of God. Because of this, guys, I think we should have our opportunity radar up all the time. We're always looking for the next opportunity to glorify God in a trial, in a blessing, whatever it may be. We're always thinking, Lord, how can this be used to serve you? Do you hunt for opportunities? Are you an optimist that sees the glass half full, or are you the pessimist that sees the glass half empty? Be a person who lives for God, and because of that, has an opportunity radar. Number eight, I think we need to have resolve, and not only resolve, but I would say a resolution cycle. A resolution cycle, okay? Be a person of resolve. Be resolved to be the best that you can be every day, right? We all know Jonathan Edwards as a young man producing the 70 resolutions. But I think that determination, resolve, and zeal, really they flow from grace. Go to Titus in your Bibles, Titus chapter 2. 1 and 2 Timothy, then Titus. Titus chapter 2, I love this verse so much. It speaks of zeal, which I think is connected with resolve. In Titus 2, verse 14, it says that he gave himself, speaking of our Savior, Christ Jesus. He gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Get this, zealous for good deeds. Zealous for good deeds. Notice then that it is the finished work of Christ on the cross. It is the indicative that is informing the imperative. It is leading to the zealousness for good deeds. In the same way, I'm drawing the parallel between zeal and resolutions. In the same way, our resolutions, there we go, should flow from the grace of God at the cross. And friends, I think this zeal should permeate every area of life, right? Here's my concern sometimes with Christians. You can be zealous at cross life. You can be zealous at Bible study. But then you give 70% at work. This is not pleasing to God. You can be zealous on a Sunday morning and wear your Sunday best, but when it comes to studying and your homework, not zealous, not working hard, right? I think that there should be a resolve to do your best no matter what you are doing, even seeking to glorify God in mundane things like eating and drinking. You do them every day. All throughout the scriptures, I had a list, I'm going to skip it. All throughout the scriptures, God speaks about the virtue of work. And by the way, before the curse came, before sin came, God made Adam and Eve to be monks who sat and meditated all day and studied their scriptures, right? Oh no, he made them to be farmers who worked. There should be a unity, right? A uniformity, really, where all of our life has this sort of integrity that is marked by zeal and passion for Christ. Whether you're stacking chairs, whether you're selling coffee, whether you're building houses, whether you're an accountant, whatever you're doing, husbanding or being a wife, parenting, driving, sleep. I mean, I don't know if you can do it when you're sleeping, but whatever you're doing should be done with absolute resolution. So that's why I call it resolution cycle. Set a goal and achieve it for God, give the glory to God, and then keep going. We should be on this constant, really driving process that all flows from the motivation of Christ's death on the cross for us. Amen? Amen. Come on, guys. One more. Lastly, we should have a yielding spirit to Christ. A yielding spirit to Christ. 1 Corinthians 2. I just love how Christ is the central theme, really, of all the scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Paul says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then in Galatians 2:20, what's he saying in Galatians 2:20? You guys know it, right? Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who? Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Again, if we're going to stand firm amidst change, maybe we should have started with this one. We must have a yielding spirit to Christ. We must say, Christ, you are Lord, you are King. So I'm going to honor you as Lord in my home. I'm going to honor you as Lord in my car. I'm going to honor you as Lord at the school, when I go to church, when I'm at Bible study, when I'm at work. Every area of my life, Lord, I want to bring into submission to you. You are King. You are Lord. And I surrender all to you. Christian, will you yield to his plan? Will you yield to his sovereignty? Will you yield to his lordship in your life and bow the knee to King Jesus? He doesn't just want part of you. He wants all of you. And I think that when we have that as our central focus, when we have that as the inner disposition of our heart, oh, the changes that we encounter are seemingly small because we're grounded on the rock of Christ. Would you bow with me as we close in prayer one last time before spring break and you all come back? With your heads bowed, I just want to encourage you to think about change in your life. Think about things that are happening right now for you. You're finishing up a week of maybe school or work. You're headed into spring break. I don't know what's going on in your personal life, but you do. I want to encourage you to think about these changes and how you're relaying these to the Lord. How are you talking with God about these things in your life? Thanks be to God that we don't have to think on our own. He gives us guidance. He gives us his word as a sure and steady anchor. Turn to him. Turn to God's word. And Father, we pray that you would allow us to stand firm, that you would give us the strength and at the same time the discipline to think right thoughts, to believe right things, Lord, to put our hope and trust not in the comforts that we're used to, whether it be how Cross Life's always been or the friends we've always had or the roommates we've always had. Lord, whatever the place of comfort we want to withdraw to, I pray that you would allow us to have a unique dependence upon you, a trust in your plan, a trust that knowing that getting out of our comfort zone is good, it causes us to depend on Christ and be more like him. And so, Lord, would you continue to sanctify this group? Lord, in my absence, would you bless John, Pastor John and Pastor Danny as they come on, and the rest of the staff and the senior staff who will be here? Allow them to lead with humility and at the same time courage. Father, we pray together that you would continue to make your name known, continue to make your son famous through Cross Life, not for the sake of Cross Life or for any one church, but for the sake of your glory and your fame. God, we love you. We want our lives to be about you, and we know that our heart is not always in that spot. So we pray, would you conform our hearts to that reality that you are King, you are worthy of all worship and praise. We pray together in Jesus' name, amen.